The topic of tonight's shiur is sugya in the beginning too. It's called Onus Begitten. Onus Begitten basically revolves around the following basic premise. We're going to try to also expand it to show some other areas throughout Shas, throughout Jewish law, that we can discuss this issue of Onus Begitten. But again, we start by focusing primarily on the Gemara. So if you look inside the Gemara in Bezim and Beis, the first, right, it says Bezim and Beis, right by the two dots, about two-fifths of the way down the page. Amar Rava, will any gittin ain't okay. So whatever you prefer, look inside the sheet, look on the smart board. Rava begins by making a statement that as far as get is concerned, as far as divorce is concerned, this is not the case. What is not the case? So Rashi explains that, and we also learned in last week's shir. Last week's shir, we had a whole discussion about the following question, that if the year of marriage was up on a Sunday, in the old days they used to have a year between Kiddushin and Nisuin, stage one of marriage, stage two. Nowadays we do the whole thing under the wedding at the same time, on the chuppah, Kiddushin, Nisuin, the ring, whichever reference it's all day, you just read the ksub in the middle, there should be a little bit of a delay. But in the times of the Gemara, they used to have a year separating Erusin and Nisuin. And so if that when that year was up, after the 1 year, so then they would do Nisuin. So the Gemara had said on Bezim and Aleph, and Bezim and Beis, Higiyaz man velo Nisu, if the time was up, if the 1 year was up, and they didn't get married, so if the woman's ready to get married, and the husband decides, I don't want to get married, not ready. So the din is, the Mishnah says later on, in Ksubis, the Mishnah Gemara says, Ochlos Mishalov, the Mishnah says, Ochlos Mishalov, Ochlos Mishalov, that he has to provide her with food. If the year is up, whenever the year is up, so he has to provide her with food. If he won't get married after the year, so they agreed to get married, and he says, I need another week, I need another 2 weeks, I'm not sure, commitment, this, whatever. So he has to give her, he has to pay her mizonos, and if he would be a Kohen, so she would be permitted to be truma after the year. So the Gemara then had asked the question, what happens if an ones is what prevented them from getting married? The Gemara illustrated a number of ones. Well, the first ones the Gemara talked about was the rabbi said that we want everybody getting married on a Wednesday. Everybody's got to get married on a Wednesday. We discussed a couple of weeks, a month ago, actually, we discussed why it is that everybody gets married on a Wednesday. But the rabbi said to get married on a Wednesday. So let's say the year was up on a Sunday. So the year was up on a Sunday, and the rabbi said you can't get married until Wednesday. So the question is, would that be enough of a reason that the woman should still get food? So the Gemara says, obviously not. That's an onus. The reason he's not getting married is not because he's the only one getting married, it's because the rabbi said you can't get married. Shaktu, we talked about that. But the rabbis wanted to make sure that the women had a nice chasana. That might be the pshat. The Ritva says a different pshat, that it means that the rabbis wanted to make sure that she would work very, very hard, and that he would work very hard at preparing for the wedding so that he wouldn't make up stories about her afterwards if he wanted to make up stories and get rid of her. If he had to work very hard at the wedding, we assume he wouldn't make up stories about her. She wasn't a Basula, other things that she might do. So anyway, the Gemara says, so if the rabbis said you can't get married till Wednesday, so if the year was up on a Sunday and had to push off the wedding till Wednesday, clearly he doesn't have to give her mizonos in such a circumstance. But then the Gemara wants to know, what's the din? Chalahu o shechalsahi o shepirzanida. What's the din if he gets sick, or she gets sick, or she was a nida, and the assumption is she couldn't get married if she's a nida? That was last week's shiur. 2 weeks ago, we talked a lot about chopas nida. What's the din of a chopas nida? Can you get married? Can you not get married? Does it work with the Ram Mishita chopas yichud? And right, the Achirim Baran, two opinions in the Ram. What is? We talked about the Mordechai Shita Badek and the whole story of the Gemara seem to make the assumption that if a woman's a nida, they're not going to get married. Either they're not allowed to get married, or the marriage doesn't even work with the Eved, or the Eved does work with Chachil, you can't, that was last week. So the Gemara has said, according to the first opinion of the Gemara, Chalahu, if he gets sick, or Shechalsahi, or she gets sick, or Pirsa Nida, Mitok She'im Yochalich, no, since they can't get married, ain't a mile alone his own. That by any onus, the first opinion of the Gemara is, presumably, any onus that happens, whether the onus is on his side, her side, makes no difference. Chalahu, Chalsi, Pirsa Nida, an onus happened, it was beyond anyone's control. If he actively says, I'm not getting married, there's no onus, he just says I'm not. So then he has to give him his onus. That's the Mishnah. However, if
It was an onus that precluded them from being married, whatever the onus happened to be. It's an onus. We're not going to make the guy pay. If an onus happened, whether he got sick, she got sick, doesn't make a difference. So on that statement, that's what our Gemara is coming to say. On that line, on that whole story. That by mizonos, we just learned that onus plays a role. So Zacht Rava says, Rava, ule'inyin git nado ke'in. When it comes to divorce, onus does not play a role. Too bad. Onus doesn't play a role. So the Gemara says, Alma, kasava Rava. We see from here that Rava holds, ain onus forget. Onus does not play a role when it comes to determining whether a get should be a get or not. So for the beginning part of this year, I would just like to familiarize you with the cases in the Gemara, the fact that the Gemara, some of the cases that Gemara tries to bring up. So I'm just going to focus a little bit on the Gemara to give you a little background on the Gemara. We'll do it a little bit quickly. Again, those who want to look at it more in depth later certainly can. So Rava holds ain onus begin. What are the words ain onus begin? Maybe let's just clarify because it can get a little bit confusing here. Ain onus begin means the get is a good get. What do I mean? Because a classic example of ain onus begin is as follows. A man gives his wife a divorce and says, if I don't show up in 12 months, the get is a get. I'm going to play the field. Goodbye, I'm going on a trip, I'm going around the world, I'm going to see what else is out there. You know, we've been together now 15, 20 years. Maybe it's time to move on. So I'm leaving for a year. If I don't show up in 12 months, the get is a good get. And what happens? He really wants to come back. But something happens. He gets sick. He can't come back. He misses the plane. We'll talk about a whole bunch of scenarios. So he wanted to come back, but an onus prevented him from getting back. So what's the din? Bottom line is, he fulfilled his condition. He didn't show up in 12 months. The get should be a get. On the other hand, he really didn't want to fulfill the condition. He wanted to come back, but he just couldn't because there was an onus. So should we say yesh onus begin, which would mean the get is not a good get? Because yesh onus begin means that we do introduce the idea of onus to prevent the get from being a good get, which means that he was not the kindest tonight, and therefore the get should not be a good get? Or do we say ain onus begin, which would mean, is it, do we say ain onus begin, which means the get is a good get, or do we say yesh onus begin, that he really wanted to come back, he just was prevented from coming back, was an onus. So yesh onus begin means the get is not a good get, because even though he fulfilled his condition, he only fulfilled his condition because of an onus, because of an extenuating circumstance. That's not called fulfilling the condition. Since that's not called fulfilling the condition, so if you say yesh onus begin, you're allowed to use the claim of onus to prevent the get from being a get, so the get is not a good get. So let's get that straight. Ain onus begin means the get is a good get. Yesh onus begin means the get is not a good get. So the Gemara says, Rava says, well, in you get an ain okay. As far as get is concerned, it's not the case. What's not the case? Onus does not play a role. By mizonos, getting married, onus plays a role. Well, ain't getting an ain okay. Alma kasava, Rava ain onus begin. So we see from here that Rava holds that for whatever reason, which we'll discuss at great length, we'll discuss onus does not play a role when it comes to get. So the Gemara wants to know, minali le Rava ha, where did he get this? And perhaps what's really standing behind the Gemara over here is, I mean, why wouldn't onus play a role? Onus l'chor plays a role in Kala Torah Kula. I mean, if you really meant to do something and you just couldn't do it because, you know, we don't hold you responsible for things that happen that you're forced into. Onus. The Gemara, Rashi is going to say later on, the mucker of onus in the Torah is v'la na'aro lo sa'ased davar. It's going to be an important thing. We're going to come back to this year. The Torah says v'la na'aro lo sa'ased davar. What does that mean? That means that Torah says, I think it's Pashas Yisaitse, that if a man rapes a married woman, or Nara Hamaras, it's talking about over there, a woman who's between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half, a regular married woman who commits adultery, the punishment is chenek, strangulation, death by strangulation. If she happens to be between 12 and 12 and a half, and she's a basula, and she's engaged, not married, so she's got all three. She's got Nara, which means she's between 12 and 12 and a half, and she's a besula, which means she's never had relations before, and she's me'orasa, she's engaged. She only had kiddushin, not misuin. She's in that year between kiddushin and misuin. Such a woman is an exception to the rule. Bas Kohen is also an exception to the rule. Bas Kohen gets straight. But Nara Amorasa, she's an exception to the rule. She gets skila, stone. It's a more serious violation. Why, that should be such a good question. But generally speaking, a married woman who commits adultery gets chenek, strangulation. A Nara Amorasa gets skila.
So the Torah says it depends where the Nara Amarasa was. If she's in the city and she didn't scream, so she gets skila, because we assume, why didn't you scream? Must be you wanted to do this. But then the Torah says, V'imbasadev itza'ah. Hanara Amorasa, if it was in the field and nobody was in, maybe she was screaming, who knows? So therefore, maybe she was screaming. So you can't kill her. V'lanara lo saseh davar. So the Gemara in the Dharma, Daf Chav Zayin, seems to indicate that this rule of V'lanara lo saseh davar is not only a local din, which we'll discuss in general, it's not just a local Ptur Onshin. Right? You could have thought, V'lanara lo saseh davar means that you don't kill somebody, you don't kill someone when they committed the Avera under duress. I mean, why would you kill someone if they committed the Avera? That doesn't make any sense. So the Torah, that's simple. Well, the Na'arel also said that, but the Gemara in the Dharm seems to extend it. That's going to be one of the major themes that we're going to talk about today. How much does onus apply to Kol HaTorah Kula? How much does this idea of Na'arel also said that, does it apply also to the case we gave before? What was the case we gave before? A man says to his wife, this is your guest. If I don't show up in 12 months, and then the reason he doesn't, he really wants to come back after 12 months. He really wants to come back, but he doesn't show up because of an onus. So the Gemara seems to be making the simple logical assumption should be onus should apply. So that's why the Gemara asks, Minale la Ravaho, where does he have this idea that ain't onus begin? Onus is a concept in Kol HaTorah Kula. Why would you assume that onus doesn't play a role when it comes to get? So the Gemara tries to bring three proofs to figure out where Rava gets this idea from of Ein Onus Begin. Maybe you'll tell me that Rava's source is from a Mishnah Maseches Gittin, from the Seifa of the Mishnah Maseches Gittin. The Seifa in Gittin says, this is your get if I don't show up from now until 12 months. And the guy dies within 12 months. This is your get on the condition that I don't show up in 12 months. I'm giving you a get, and I say, here's your get. Here's your get on the condition that I don't come back in 12 months. That's exactly the case. I'm going to play the field, and my sign to you, whether I still love you, will be if there'll be a yellow ribbon tied around it. My sign to you that I don't love you, is if I don't show up, and then the divorce is chal. I want the divorce to be chal at the end of the 12 months. Then what happens? He dies 6 months later. Well, boy, he didn't show up. He really didn't show up. He died. So, Hareiz umeis b'soch shnei masoch chodesh, he died within the 12 months, ain't no get. So the Mishnah says it's not a good get. So the Gemara assumes, now if it would be true...
It's different. He didn't get the 12 months.
Good. Okay. But at the end of 12 months, he didn't come back.
But she was married to him when he died, so she got no.
Okay, good. So we'll see. But so the Gemara's Raya is, why didn't the Mishnah say a bigger chodesh? God is saying, yeah, obviously if he died, it's not a good get, because he wasn't alive to see the end of it, and, right? Dead people can't give get. We'll talk about that in one second. But the raya of the Gemara is, why didn't the Mishnah say a bigger chiddush? That not only if you die is not a good get, but even if the reason you don't come back is because you got sick and you couldn't come back. Why didn't the Mishnah say that? From the fact that the Mishnah did not say that, the Gemara makes a deal. The only reason why it's not a good get is because he died. But I can infer from that, if he would have gotten sick in the middle of the 12 months, and that's why he didn't come back, that would be a good get. That's Rava's Raya, and on this beginning, yeah, Mati.
There's a big difference between dying and getting sick. There's a difference between a Gush and a Chalitza. Halakhically, it's day and night. Why would it even be a thought?
No, so, again, the thought would be that if he does not show up as a result of onus, because he got sick, he really wanted to fulfill his condition. He wanted to not fulfill it, but he wanted to come back before 12 months. But he got sick. That's why he couldn't come back. So don't tell him that his get is a good get because he didn't show up for 12 months. The only reason he didn't show up is because he... You're right. Death is totally different, as the Gemara is going to say in 1 second. Watch this. Maybe this will clarify for you. But the Gemara thinks we have a proof that onus does not play a role by yet. Ain't onus begin, because the guy wanted to show up and he didn't come back. The only reason the Mishnah says it's not a good get is because he died and he's dead. So the get can't be chal if he's dead. But that would imply that if he was sick, exactly as you said, that would be different. That would be good. The implication is that sick, it would be good. So that would seem to be right. Ain't onus begin. Answer the Gemara exactly what both of you are saying. The Gemara says no. The Gemara says... My answer is
Dilma la'olamei melach, perhaps really I'll tell you, chala nami enu get. No. Maybe this Mishnah, don't infer from this Mishnah, as you're saying, don't infer from this Mishnah that if you die, it's not a good get. But if you would have been sick and not shown up, it would have been a good get. No. Maybe even if you would have been sick, it also would have been not a good get. Because maybe Yesh onus begit. Maybe Rav is wrong. But why did this Mishnah select the case of dying? Because the Gemisra's trying to teach you a different thing. V'hi gufa kamashman, this Mishnah, the Sefer, this Mishnah is trying to teach you the ein get la'achar misa. The halacha that a divorce does not work after death. Now you would all say that's obvious, right? I mean, so the Gemara says, "Ain get la'achar misa hatana le'risha." That we already know from the first case in that Mishnah. What are the first case? Hareze gitechimati. A man gives his wife a divorce, and he says, "I want this to be your get if I die," because the man, he wants to make sure that his wife doesn't have to do with, as you said, yibum. He doesn't want to deal with yibum. He doesn't want her to deal with chalitza, all this stuff. So he sees he's dying, and he has no brother. Yeah, he has a brother, and he has no children. See, he wants his wife to be saved from the tzaros of worrying about chalitz and even things like that. Because, gentlemen, you know that if a man dies without children and he has a brother, so the din is that his wife is not permitted to marry anybody else before he either gets yibum or chalitza done by the dead man's brother. So here this guy's dying. He knows he had enough kids. He has a brother. So he wants to spare his wife. So he hands her a divorce. And he says, if I die, I want this divorce to be chal. So the Mishnah says, you can't do that. Because once you're dead, you can't divorce anymore. So the Mishnah, so Gemara says, Ein get lachamisa, don't tell me the safe of the Mishnah is coming to teach me again. And I said, that I already know from the Risha, because that's the simple case. Hareze gitech imati. Guy says to his wife, I want this to be your get if I die. Hareze gitech mecholize, if I die from this illness. Hareze gitech lachamisa. Any of these languages that he says, lo amar klum, because that's a get lachamisa. We have a rule, aim get lachamisa. You can't give your wife a divorce and say, I only want the divorce at any place after I die. Because once you're dead already. You need to be alive in order to divorce your wife. So we already know that from the Risha. So what do you need two cases to teach me aim get lachamisa? So the Gemara is back to the original assumption that the Seifa said the case of Nace, if I don't show up in 12 months, I want the get to be get, and he dies within 12 months, it's not a good get. That implies that if he's sick, it is a good get. One second, I'll come to you. One second. Sigmar answers, Dilma la fuke midirabosena. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Reisha teaches you when you get lachamisa, but the Seifa teaches you something else. The Sefer teaches you lafuki mi de Rabbi Seinu. I'll just explain this clearly, briefly outside. The Sani of Rabbi Seinu mi teruli nase. The Rabbi Seinu argue in this case. They say it is a good get. Armin man Rabbi Seinu Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel beidin to show Mishnah Sava lo Rabbi Yosi Amar Zmano shel Shtar Mochiach Lav. Rabbi Yosi had a very original opinion. Rabbi Yosi said, if you give the woman the get and say, if I don't show up in 12 months, the get, I want the get to be a good get. Rabbi Yossi held, even if you die within the 12 months, Rabbi Yossi says it is a good get. Even if you die within 12 months, Rabbi Yossi says it is a good get. Why? Because he has this chiddush of Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Halav. What does that mean? Rabbi Yossi holds that if you were, that when you write the date of the get in the get, that shows that you really want the get to be chal. That shows that you really want the get to be chal at the time that the get is written. So, gentlemen, the halacha is, as we're about to learn, the halacha is, if a man gives his wife a get, and he says to her, I want the get to be chal today in 12 months. Mehayom, in other words, I'm giving the guy, I want the get to be chal today, but I don't actually want it to be chal today. In 12 months, if I don't show up, if I don't come back in 12 months, I want the get to be chal retroactively from today, mehayom. So the guy says, mehayom ulachar misa. So in such a case, if he dies within 12 months, it is a good get, because he didn't show up after the 12 months, and he said, if I don't show up in 12 months, I want it to be retroactive. Rabbi Yossi holds, even without saying mehayom, just the fact that you wrote the date of the get in the get indicates that your intention is that you want the get to be chal retroactively from the time the get is written. So that's why you need the second statement in the Braisa. You need it to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Because we hold that that's not true.
that if you say Mehayom, then you mean Mehayom. But if you don't say Mehayom, even if you just wrote the date of the get, that's not an indication of the fact that you want the get to be chal retroactively. So again, these are somewhat side points, but the bottom line is, in terms of what we need, the Gemara tries to bring a proof to Rava's opinion from the Seif of the Mishnah Gittin, from the Reish of the Mishnah Gittin. The Gemara says you can't bring a riot from either case. You can't bring a riot from the Seif because the Seif is just coming to exclude Rav Yossi, and you can't bring a riot from the Reish because the Reish is coming to teach you Ein Get La'achar Misa. So that's the end of riot number one. And then, similarly, the Gemara tries to bring another proof, and then a third proof. The Gemara tries to bring a number of other proofs to the din of Ein Get La'achar Misa. And both of them are very, very interesting to the din of Ein Onus Begin. Both of them are rather interesting. So let's just take a quick, brief look at them. Again, normally we don't spend this much time on the Gemara, but I do think that in this case it makes sense because we need to be familiar with these cases and concepts before we go to the Rishonim. So the Gemara suggests maybe we can learn out Ein Onus Begin from somewhere else, from the other case. Me'achshav in Lo Basi Mikayim Adid Beis Chodesh. That's the case I just mentioned before. This is the safer the safer. If a guy says, guy hands his wife a divorce, and he says, I want the divorce to be filed now if I don't show up in 12 months. Now, I want it from now, meaning if I don't show up in 12 months, retroactively it will turn out that we were divorced from now. So then, if he dies within the 12 months, he dies within the 12 months, hareze get. So the Gemara assumes, meis v'hu adin l'chala. In this case, there's no difference between dying and being ill. In either case, you didn't show up, but in either case, the get was chal retroactively. So now, if you're ill or if you die, so you really maybe wanted to come back after 12 months, it was just an onus that prevented you from coming back. And yet we say, it's a good get. You fulfilled the condition, even though you were forced into fulfilling the condition. So you see that even though the reason you fulfilled your condition was because of an onus, let's say you got sick and that's why you couldn't come back after 12 months, so you were forced into fulfilling your condition as an onus, and yet we say it's still, we say it's a good get. So you see, ein onus begitin. So this is the proof to Rav is then the ein onus begitin. So the Gemara says, no, maybe death is different. So the Gemara says, dilma meis dafka dilo nichle tibul kamayab. This is very, very interesting. The Gemara says, no, maybe there's a difference. Maybe we go inside the guy's head who was making the condition. That's what the guy said. I want to divorce you on the condition that I don't show up in 12 months. Now, what do you think the guy meant, right? What do you think he meant? But if I really wanted to come after 12 months, I wanted to come back, I love you. I realized, I saw all the other women in the world, and I realized that I still love you. I really want to come back, and it was 11 months and a half. And then that was the guy gets cancer, he's sick in the hospital, he can't come back. So what do you think the guy would have originally intended when he made the condition originally? Do you think he intended that had he got cancer, that I really wanted to get to be chal? No, I didn't want to get to be chal. I only wanted to get to be chal if I willingly decided I'm not going to show up after 12 months. But if I really wanted to come back after 12 months, but I just couldn't, so clearly I didn't want to. So the Gemara says we go inside the guy's head and we say, no, maybe only by death he would want to get to be chal, because death, he wants to make sure his wife doesn't have any Yibam or Chalitza problems. But if he got cancer, maybe we wouldn't say such a thing. So the Gemara says, maybe only, but if he died, we go inside his mind and we say that he never would have wanted, he would have wanted to get to be Chal anyway. But maybe really we hold Yesh Onus Begin by his sickness. There's no proof from here to Onus Begin. And now, here's everybody's favorite case. The Gemara tries one more time to prove in Onus Begin from the following fascinating case. A guy said to the people of his town, the guy says, if I don't show up in 30 days, I want this get to be a get. And what happens? He comes back on day number 30, and what happened to Paske Mabara? The ferry was on the wrong side of the river. Happened to be the driver was on Miluim, and the ferry was, you know, docked on the other side of the river. So he's standing on the other side of the river, and the people of his town are over there, and it's day number 30. And he's screaming, honey, I love you! The ferry stops him. Omar Lahu, Chazu da soy! Look, I'm coming! I said if I don't show up in 30 days, it should be a get, but it's day number 30 today, and I really want to come because the ferry's on the wrong side of the ocean. Omar Shmuel, too bad. Lav Shmei Masya. It's not called coming. So you see from here that Ones does not play a role. Ain Ones begin. Too bad. Even though you have a valid claim to say, I really wanted to come back, we say Ones doesn't play a role. So maybe this is the proof to Rava. Ain Ones begin. It's interesting. It's only a statement of Amoraim here. The other one is a statement of Tanaim. But apparently Shmuel was one of the earlier Amoraim and Rava was one of the later Amoraim. So perhaps the Gemara is bringing a proof from a statement of an earlier Amora that how could Rava, who's a later Amora, contradict this basic fundamental principle that Shmuel says that you see Shmuel's holding Ein Ones Begidden, so therefore that's the proof of Rava. So the Gemara answers no. Dilma Onsa the Shlich Shani, the ferry drivers, they go on Miluot every month. You should have realized that sometimes the ferry's on one side of the river, sometimes. So maybe really Ones, Yesh Ones Begidden. Maybe really a normal Ones, it would be a good claim. But something like the ferry, something like the plane flights, they cancel plane flights all the time. So you had to realize, you should have stipulated that. You should have stipulated, if I show up on day number 30, and the ferry wasn't there, it's no good. So at any rate, now the Gemara concludes now, gentlemen. The Gemara concludes something very, very fascinating, which we're going to spend a lot of time discussing, probably next Tuesday night. A lot of time, the conclusion of the Gemara. What's the conclusion of the Gemara? The conclusion of the Gemara is, you're right. Rava really holds Yesh Ones Begitin on a level of Doraisa. Mi Doraisa Lanara Losasa Dabar Yesh Ones Begitin. Rava really agrees that if you really wanted to fulfill your condition, and you just couldn't fulfill, meaning you really wanted not to fulfill the condition, and you were forced into fulfilling the condition because of an Ones, really we hold on a level of Doraisa Yesh Ones Begitin. Because Ones is a rule that applies in Kol HaTorah Kula. Lanara Losasa Dabar. Ones plays a role. Just like we don't kill the poor woman who was raped, who the Aisha's issue was raped, we don't kill her because she was forced into it, she was raped, she was screaming, yelling. We wouldn't kill her, that's crazy, why would you think of such a thing? Similarly, if a man makes a condition, if I don't show up in 12 months, and he really wanted to come back to violate the condition, so it should not be a good get, but he was forced into fulfilling the condition, so a kiematai ba'ones is not called a kiematai. Really, yesh ones begin. Midaraisa should not be a good get, because he didn't want to fulfill the condition. But the Gemara says there were Durabbanan concerns, which perhaps we'll speak about next week. The Gemara says, the Durabbanan, we're worried about the Tzuos, we're worried about the Prutos. The Gemara says, we're worried about people who are going to play with the system, because Tzua, so we're worried that maybe really it's not an Ones. This guy hates her. He doesn't want to come back. But she's going to say, oh, she's a firm girl, and she's not going to want to violate, because, well, maybe husband who really loves me, maybe he really wanted to come back, but he's lying somewhere in a hospital somewhere. She's going to be nervous that it really was cause of an illness, and she's going to be in Aguna forever. That's what the Gemara says. So, because of certain other Durabbanan concerns, Rava, when he said Ein Ones Begid, just meant it to Durabbanan. This is, I think, enough background so that we can go a little bit deeper into this idea of Ones. So that's the Gemara. That's more of that. This is the Lishna Kama of the Rava. Then, interestingly, the Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph, if you turn to the page, you don't have to do it now, but we're not going to look at it now. But the Gemara turns over the page, the Gemara has the whole story again, but assuming the Gemara has a Lishna Basra, another version of Rava, where Rava actually held Yesh Ones Begidden. And all the same Mishnayos that the Gemara used as Rayas to Rava, all of a sudden on Gimel Amud Aleph become Kashas against Rava. Ari, I'm sorry I cut you off before. You have a question?
No, it's okay.
Okay. Now, so I alluded to before that one of the issues, I'd like to discuss a couple of issues that come out of the text over here. The whole discussion about Ones, all right, we'll leave the Tosas out for now, maybe we'll come back to it, we'll see. I want to show you a comment of the Ritva here. So, we'll see something by Rabbi Chana Wasserman also. But first, we'll see the Ritva. So, the whole discussion about Ones in the Gemara, the Ritva points out. Again, let's remember the case in the Gemara. The case in the Gemara was, man says to his wife, I'm hereby divorced, I want to give you this divorce document, I'm giving it to you now, but I don't want the divorce to be chal till after 12 months if I don't show up. So he makes a condition. He makes his get suspended on the condition of his not showing up. And the discussion of the Gemara is, if he's forced into fulfilling that condition, he's lying somewhere in a hospital somewhere, he really wants to come back, he loves her, he wants to come back, he just can't, he can't get rid of the condition. So he's forced into fulfilling the condition. So the whole discussion in our Gemara is, if you're forced into fulfilling a condition,
Is that called fulfilling a condition? When you're forced into fulfilling the condition, is that called? And our Gemara seems to conclude that even though midoraisa yesh onus begitin, so midoraisa being forced to fulfill a condition is not called fulfilling that condition. That's what yesh onus begitin means. Yesh onus means there is the claim of onus, and if there is a claim of onus, that's not called fulfilling the condition. But with the Rabbanon, the rabbis came along, they worry about the tznuos and the prutzos, so the rabbis came along and said, with the Rabbanon, we're going to say, ein onus begitin, which means with the Rabbanon, we're going to say, that when you fulfill a condition, even if you were fulfilled it under duress, midrabbanan, we are going to consider it as if you did fulfill the condition, even though you were forced into fulfilling the condition. Says the Ritva, that whole lumdus only makes sense if you fulfill the condition and you were forced into it. What about the reverse? What about the reverse scenario? What about if you were forced into not fulfilling the condition? Would you say the same logic, like, let me give you the following simple example that the Ritva talks about. A man gives his wife a get and says, I want this get to be a get if I do come back within 12 months. Why is somebody going to say that? I don't know. But the guy he's going off on a trip. And he says, listen, if I stay away for all the 12 months, that means like I found a great business deal that's going to be great for our future. But if I show up before 12 months, that means that I could find nothing to make parnasa, I can't support you. And if I do show up before 12 months, the divorce is a divorce. If I show up one day, any day in the next year, if I come back to this house, if I walk into this house once during the next year, then we're divorced. Then the divorce is a good divorce.
Why does it just do when he comes back?
What?
Why doesn't it just do when he comes back?
Why? I don't know. I don't know that. Then we would have had a much simpler time without this Ritva. But why doesn't he just divorce her when he comes back? I don't know. He found the sofa now. I don't know. He doesn't want to deal with the
money.
He doesn't want to deal with the anxiety, right? He still has a little money left. I don't know why. I don't know why. Good question. I don't know why. Anyway, comes along the Ritva, and the Ritva says, in such a case, so let's work the case out. Okay, a man says, I want the divorce to be halal if I do show up within 12 months. And then at 11 and a half months, at 11 months and 29 days, he really wants to come back to make the get a get, but because of an ones, he cannot come back. So in this case, ones is not forcing you to fulfill the condition, ones is forcing you not to fulfill the condition. Too complicated, right? Comes along the Ritva, and the Ritva says, Kloma, she'en about, what does it mean? Rava says, le'en git ne'en okim, which means Rava says, there's no din of onus by git. Kloma, she'en about yochalit on tainas onus levata al saget. The husband cannot make the claim of onus to nullify the get. She'im nosan as saget al tanai. If a man gives a get on condition, I give you this get on condition that it rains in 5 days. I give you this get on condition that I give you $1,000, or that you give me. I'll give you this get on the condition that your father gives me $1,000 tomorrow. Whatever condition it is. V'niskayim atznai, and the condition is fulfilled, af al pi shemachmas ha'ones niskayim, even though the condition was filled because of an ones, you didn't really want to fulfill the condition. It was ones that made you. You were sick in a hospital, and that's why you could not return again. He's talking first case. He's talking about the regular case, which is, if I don't show up in 12 months, it should be a get. Even if you're forced into not showing up because of an ones, and that's why it's a good get. So the chiddush of Rav is, ein ones begin, kiyum atznai ayudei ones is called the kiyum atznai, ein ones begin, the get works, says the Ritva. But that only makes sense if you're forced into fulfilling the condition. Even though you fulfilled the condition only because of the duress, harehu get. So it's still a get. Ones doesn't play a role. Ein ones begitin, that's what the rabbis have the right to say. Ulafuke, says Ritva, but this comes to exclude. No one in their right mind would ever think. Ulafuke im lo niskayim atznai. This comes to exclude. What about if you had a case the reverse? Let's say ones forced you not to fulfill the condition. So there, we would never say, ki afal pi shemachmas ha'ones lo niskayim. There, even though it was an ones that forced you not to fulfill your condition,
Certainly in such a case we would say, Ein haget get. In such a case, you can't make the claim of onus. Certainly we would say there, the get is not a good get. Why? Maybe you should make the argument that the get should be a good get. Why? Because yesh onus. In other words, you should say, hey, what's the case? I say I want this get to be a get if I do show up in 12 months, and I don't come just because of an onus. So on a level of doraisa, we should say yesh onus, which means that really I want to fulfill this, so it should be a good get. The only reason I didn't fulfill is because I didn't show up. So the Gemara said, I was an onus. So the Rifa said, that's crazy. Bottom line is, you didn't fulfill your condition. So the sof, lo neskai matanai, v'zeh borur. The Rifa says, this is obvious. This is obvious. It's obvious because the only thing it makes sense to say, says the Rifa, is that if you fulfill a condition through an onus, bottom line is, you fulfilled your condition, even though you were forced into it. That's called fulfilling a condition. That it makes sense to say. But if you did not fulfill your condition because of an onus, nobody in their right mind would ever suggest, said the Rifa, that not fulfilling your condition because of an onus is considered as if you fulfilled the condition. Because bottom line is, you said the get is only get if you show up. And you didn't show up. Whatever the reason might be, you were sick, you wanted to, you should have, you could have, but bottom line is, like I'll give you an example, John. I mean, just think it out. Again, think it out in the following scenario, right? Man says, I want to marry you on the condition you give me $1 million. Or the woman says, I'll agree to marry you to the man if you give me a diamond ring. Or you give me $1 million. So then what happened? And he has $1 million in his house. So they marry, and then he's supposed to give me $1 million in 5 days. And then 5 days later, an onus happens. Robbers broke into his house and stole the $5 million. So what are you going to say? The marriage is a good marriage? Because I promised you the $5 million. But you said the marriage is only marriage. I give you $5 million. But I only know I didn't give you the money because an onus happened. Would somebody in their right mind say that that's marriage? The rich person says, that's crazy. You could say that if I'm forced into fulfilling a condition. Okay, you were forced, but too bad. A kima tonight, but onus is considered a kima tonight. But in a case where you were forced to not fulfill a condition, the bottom line is you did not fulfill your condition. If you didn't fulfill your condition, that's no good. So the rich person is a double pasha. That nobody would ever say that a kiyum hatznai ba'onet, that a e kiyum hatznai, that not fulfilling the condition by ones is considered as if you fulfill the condition. You could say that fulfilling a condition and being forced into fulfilling it, that's called fulfilling a condition. But if you didn't fulfill a condition, to say that since you were prevented from fulfilling the condition, that should be considered as if you fulfilled the condition, that he says is crazy. What the Ritva says is crazy, of course, the Ratan Kedushin says is in fact true. Rabbi Chana Wasserman has an analysis about this. The Ratan Kedushin says, in the case that we said before, if a man was Makayish, a woman, on a condition that he will give her money, and an onus happened that he couldn't give her the money. So the Ratan Kedushin says, Rabbi Yochanan says, what we would think, Unsa Kamanda Lo Avda. Rabbi Yochanan says, onus, sorry, but the bottom line is, you didn't give her the money, too bad, the marriage is not a good marriage, you didn't fulfill the condition. Reish Lakish comes up with a chiddush. This the Ran is quoting a Yerushalmi. Reish Lakish says, "Unsa kiman da'ovid." That not only can an ones say that if you're forced into doing something, it's cool that you did it, but an ones can even say if you're prevented from doing something, we can actually consider it as if you did what you said you would do, even though you didn't do it. Unsa kiman da'ovid, and the Ran over there explains that the reasoning of Reish Lakish is that just like by get, we say, yesh ones begin, so too he applies it over there, midoraisa. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you can't compare Kedushin to get, because Kedushin you have to consider her das. But they both seem to agree, the Ran analysis, both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan agree that when it comes to get, we would apply the rule that unsa kamanda avi, that ones is as if you did something. And Rabbi Chana Wasserman was analyzing this dispute with the Ritva and the Ran, and he really goes back to discussing what I spoke about before. Rabbi Chana Wasserman talks about that, what's the idea behind this machlokas, about whether an onus is as if you performed something. You could say that an onus is if you performed. So he wanted to suggest like this. He started off asking the following question.
At Rashi, if you look actually in your Gemaras, and that give a moment out, just open for 1 second, the Rashi, where the Gemara says, Midoraisa Yeshonis begin. Look at the third line in Rashi.
Midoraisa Yeshonis begin. So Rashi says, because the Torah says, Vlanara lo sasa davar.
So the Torah says, Yeshonis begin. Midoraisa Yeshonis begin. Rashi says, Vlanara lo sasa davar. And Ralchana wants to know, Ralchana Wasim wants to know, how could this pasuk be the source of Yeshonis begin? How could this pasuk be the source that if I don't show up after 12 months, it's because of an ones, so the get is not going to be a good get because that's not called fulfilling it tonight. Says Rav Chana, this pasuk is a petur ocean. This pasuk just says that a woman, you don't kill somebody. You don't kill somebody who commits an avera through ones. Where in the world do you get from there? Where in the world do you get from there? Just because the Torah says you don't kill somebody when you don't kill somebody when they commit an avera onus, how do you get from there that if I don't fulfill, if I fulfill a condition because of onus, that yesh onus begin, that onus can say that it's not called fulfilling the condition? Where what is one thing after the other? One, it's a special divot. You don't shoot people, you don't kill people when they did things by accident.
Isn't this halach in shtaros? It's not a lot of halach in gin, it's in all shtaros. You make a time within a shtar, and you fulfill it or you don't fulfill it. It's not just for gin.
So it would seem from the fact, this is Rav Chana's analysis, it would seem from the fact that Rashi quotes this pasuk over here. As I said before, it's based on the Gemara in the Dard, where the Gemara expands it to the Dard, which is similar to, you know, if a person says, I swear I'm going to, you know, do X and Y, and then he's prevented from doing it, or he does it because of an onus. So you see from there that the Pshan and Vlanara Lasasadar, it's not just the Torah ocean. It's not just the Torah saying that I'm not going to kill somebody who does an Avera Baonis. But actually what it means is that any action done under duress is not called you did that action. Any action done under duress, you can't say that's called you did that action. That's l'chor, the simple pshat in the v'lanar l'sasa davar means. Any action that's done under duress, v'lanar l'yeshonus begit mi d'oraisa means that any action done under duress is not called your action. And that would be the logic for yeshonus begit. And again, the rabbis came along with the rabbanan and they wanted to say ein onus begit. They want to say that if you're mekayim matnai ayidei onus, so that is called a kiyum matnai. The rabbis say it is called a kiyum matnai. But that whole discussion, says Rav Chanan, only makes sense if you use this idea of lanaro l'sasa davar, which means that my action is an action done under duress, not called an action. So you could say an action done under duress, not called an action, but nobody in their right mind would suggest that a non-action done under duress is called an action. You could argue the issue of whether an action done under duress is called an action, but no one in their right mind would make the leap to say, this is the logic of the Ritva, to say that if you didn't do an action, that it would be called your action. It's a kal v'chomer. There's a discussion, d'oraisa, d'rabbanan, the rabbis say, if you do the action under duress, call my action. But to say that I didn't do it and it should be called that I did it, that's crazy. So what in the world is the logic of the Ran? So Rav Chanan said as follows. So perhaps the Ran disagrees with Rashi's logic over here. The issue of yeshonus and einonus is not a question of whether my action done under duress is action. It's a whole different thing that's going on over here. It's what I spoke about before. It's the question of the mindset of the person making it. In other words, one could perhaps suggest, in the case I gave before, where a man gives his wife, he gets married to her, and says, on the condition that I give you $1,000. The question is, again, so by marriage it's hard because you have the woman involved too, but let's take divorce. The case of divorce. In a case of where a man says, I want this get, where it's totally up to the husband, it's totally up to me, all the divorce conditions, I can divorce my wife against her will. I don't need her agreement, I don't need her, I don't need anything. I can divorce her against her will. So if I say to my wife, I want this get to be get, if I do show up in 12 months, and the reason he doesn't come is because of an onus, so we go inside his head, and we say, what did he really mean over here? Would he have really wanted the get to be chal in such a circumstance? He really wanted to come back. He wanted to come back within the 12 months, but he got sick. So perhaps in such a case, Rav Chanan suggests, we go inside the guy's head, and we say, if it was a situation of onus, he never would have wanted to make this condition in the first place. And that's how we can possibly suggest that even not being mekayem mitznayi because of an onus, you can consider as if he's mekayim. Not because he was really mekayim tonight, but because in a, we go inside his head and we make an evaluation that the guy never would have wanted to make a condition and say I would have come back and would have been lying in the hospital. So he really, in a case where he said it's a good get if I do show up, it's not a good get. You know why? Because even though he did not show up, in the case where the get will be a good get even if he doesn't show up, because he really wanted to show up. And that's where the Ron could get this idea that even if you are not Mekayim the Tanai, because of an onus, it's as if you were Mekayim the Tanai. Not because you were Mekayim the Tanai, but because we say the Tanai is Batel in a situation that the get's a good get anyway if you don't show up, because since you wanted to show up and you didn't show up, we assume you never would have wanted to make a condition in a certain sense of onus. This is Rabbi Chanan's analysis. Yes, Marcel.
The two basic differences between these two scenarios. The first one is that on the Tanai, that the get will be valid. Once the get is chal, you cannot go back. The other tnai, if I want the get to be valid and I don't show up because of an onus, I can always go and write a get again. So it's always easy to you could.
So that's more the logic. That's the Ritva's logic.
You're right. That's the Ritva's logic. The Ron seems to disagree. This is point number one of the shir. Point number two, in the last 12 minutes, I want to share with you some very fascinating observations. Allah Almighty. So this happens all the time. Okay. When we were young, of course, now nobody watches ball games anymore. I know we're all too busy for that. Nobody does that anymore. But remember the old days, or our kids who watch ball games now, because they got all the time in the world, the kids. So let's say it happens. I can remember perhaps one time in my very, very distant, ancient past childhood, such a thing coming up. But you're watching a football game on a Sunday afternoon, and you see it's almost time for mincha time. Mincha time is coming. So if the game starts at 1 o'clock, and mincha's like at around 4. Mincha's at 4. So you say, you know, I got plenty of time, right? I got plenty of time for mincha. So it's now 1 o'clock, it's 2 o'clock, it's 2:30. I get all these minyanim now. We got maybe there's minyan at 1, there's minyan at 2, all the time. But no, it's into the game. So good, I'm going to go to the later mincha. And then, at the last minute, what happens to you? The game goes into overtime, you forget. And you forget, you lose it, you got so involved, that you forget. So the question is, you know that you're allowed to make up the tefillah if you were nanas, an onus happened. Okay, so maybe not a good example of onus. But let's say, it's just a more simple case. So you have plenty of time to daven mincha. You remember, I can daven mincha 1, 1:30, 2, 2:30, 3, 4. And then all of a sudden, there's nine minchas at 4, and you all get ready. Then all of a sudden, the last second, an onus happens. Mamish, a real onus. Not like you got caught up in the game. A real onus happens. And something's an emergency, or whatever, something comes up, emergency, mamish, you couldn't daven. Now the shaila is, can you make it up? Can you daven two myros now? Because if you're an onus, so you're allowed to daven too. But if you did it on purpose, you're mevatel, so you're not allowed to make it up. So this is called what's called in the halachic literature, like onus b'shoah achro, or onus b'yif. Like in our case, the case I said before was onus b'yom achro. So let me show you a fascinating ramah. Let's see if I can find it. There's a fascinating ramah in the Shulchan Aruch, but the ramah quotes a machlokes. Find it, one second. Anyway, the Ramah quotes a machlokas between the Ran and the Nemuka Yosef and the Aguda. Aguda is one of the early Rishonim. So the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quotes a dispute about this. So I get to it. One second, I apologize. That was supposed to be early. So the Shulchan Aruch, Yoridea, second. Get it in 1 second. Suvos, in Sugya, I think I put it in. Sugya 4, Sugya 6. Hold on 1 second, I apologize. 1 second, it's not there. One more second. Really will come in 1 second. So, the Ramah, here we go. The Ramah, stop me when you see the Ramah. Okay. Here we go. Okay, here we go. So here already, look at that. Here it is. Okay. Mi shelo hispalel, first in Shulchan Aruch. Mi shelo hispalel, ba'od sheyesh lo zman lehispalel. Someone who doesn't daven when he has plenty of time to daven. Mipnei shesavar shadai yishar lozman achash yigamar osa esek shumasai. He thinks he's going to have plenty of time. U'benkach avar lo ashah. V'chein misha hayatar b'tzorach mamonu shlo yovali behefsid vayde kach hefsid milas pal. V'chein misha u'shikor v'lo espal. Kulam chashuvim onsin. V'yesh lahem tashlumim. So the mechaber, when it comes to davening, says that if you're honest at the end of the time, that's called honest. Even though you had 3 hours of it, you had plenty of time, you're pushing it off. At the very end, you have an honest, that's called honest, you're allowed to make it up. So the Achronim say, where's the source of this din? The source is our Gemara. Because what our Gemara? What was the case in our Gemara? The case in our Gemara with the ferry, right? The guy came and he said, I want this get to begin if I don't show up in 30 days. Now he could have showed, the ferry was running on day number 1, day number 5, day number 10, the ferry was running fine. He decided to show up on day number 30. Oh, the ferry all of a sudden is not running. He could have come back in the earlier days. He could have come back in all the earlier days. There was only an honest on the last day. And yet the Gemara says, that over here, that such an onus, the Gemara declares, yesh onus or ain onus. But the Gemara calls, the Gemara doesn't just throw out the whole case by saying, hey, this is not an onus at all. You could have come back earlier. So you see an onus on the last day. Is called an onus. So that's the source of the din of shacharach. Even an onus at the very end, that's called an onus. The problem is that not everybody agrees to this. This is, here it is. The Ramah. Let's see if this is it. Mish nishma, this is a statement from the Ramah in Yoredeh Reish Lamed Beis Yud Beis. Mish nishma unad lasa davar tok shan ob yom ploni. A guy says, I swear I will pay you back within a year. Or I swear I will build your house for you. Contractor says, I swear I will finish the house within the year. Or someone's going to do something for you. I'm going to do something for you. I promise I'm going to do this for you within the year. I promise I'm going to mow your lawn within 2 weeks. For sure. Tosha obyom ploni. Yesh lo asos miyad. Do it right away. Obishachmas. Kishir goes leo. Shema yishka chakakak. Hello. Yaseno. V'yavon nidrush v'wasa. Let's say you could have done it right away and you didn't do it right away. Ki omar dain yeshli panai laso, so I got a whole year to fulfill it. Vishachach onenas acharkach velo asahu. And then an onus happened afterwards and you didn't do it. Yeshomrim demikre onus. Some say it's an onus. That's the ran and parakeets of the regular nemuke yosef over there. Vyeshomrim deloy mikre onus. The aguda in Gittin says it's not called machloikes. So the Tzos and the Nesivus and all the Achronim and the Stipler and Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon Shkop and everybody under the sun ask against the Aguda. The Aguda says not called an onus. So two questions. First of all, if the Ramah quotes the two opinions over here, how come in Hilchas Tefillah the Ramah doesn't mention the two opinions? Here the Ramah quotes the two opinions, he's not Machria. So how come when it comes to the laws of davening, the Ramah just says it is called an onus, that's it. No discussion. Oh, beautiful. So some say that by Nedarim, which are very strict, very severe, so the Ramah wanted to be Machmir. But by Tefillah, it's the Rabbanim, Tefillah's the Rabbanim, something called Yamati.
We keep on looking at the case by Tefillah, but why not go back and look at the Raya, which is the case of the ferry, and whether the Ramah is saying whether that's really an onus or not. In fact, when you presented that case, you said it's not an onus. The guy knows that the ferry runs late. It's not an onus. He should have planned because the ferry runs sometimes on this side, sometimes on that side.
Oh, so good. So you're 100% right, Mati, but the proof that the Achronim bring from that Gemara is that you're right, the Gemara concludes it's not an onus, but not for the reason that we're saying. In other words, so you're saying the Gemara could have said either one, but what the Achronim say about that Gemara is that if not for that issue, as far as the issue of it being an onus at the last day, that didn't bother the Gemara. That's the proof from the Gemara. You're right. The Gemara ends up saying it's not an onus anyway. But the Gemara doesn't say it's not an onus because it was a last day thing. Right. So it sounds like in terms of it being a last day issue, the Gemara does consider a last day onus an onus. So hang on 1.5 seconds. So, and they ask from that Gemara too. Everybody asks, how can the Aguda say an onus at the end is not an onus if our Gemara seems to indicate that an onus at the last end is? And how come by Hilchos Tefillah, we say an onus at the last second is an onus? So Reb Chaim said a very fascinating chiddush. It's found in the Chiddush Reb Chaim al Hashas. So Reb Chaim wants to distinguish between the two cases. Very, very, I think a very, very sharp distinction, which we have to let meditate it out a little bit.
Not only have a few hours to fulfill it on this other situation, you have 12 months, you have 30 days, you got something. So maybe it bears on the illness that comes up.
Okay, close. Reb Chaim said it a little bit differently. Said it like
a little bit better.
Yeah. Reb Chaim said it a little differently. Reb Chaim wants to say it like this. Again, let's think about the two cases we're contrasting. We're contrasting a situation where I promise to do you something within 30 days.
He's making the point.
Oh. Versus a situation where I say, let's take Agamar's case, where if I don't show up in 30 days, the get will be a get. Listen, here's the difference. One situation is where I promise I will do you something within 30 days. Versus if I don't show up in 30 days, the get will be a get. And there, the Aguda holds that in a case where I said I will do you something within 30 days and I'm onus on the last day, that's not called an onus. But in a situation where I say if I don't show up in 30 days and I on the last day I want to show up and it's not an onus, and it's an onus, in that case, we say an onus on the last day is considered a good onus. What's the difference? Chaim says like this. He says the difference is, in a situation where I have a 30-day period within which to do a particular action. So I can do it today, I can do it tomorrow, I can do it the next day. I can do that particular action anytime. So if on the 30th day I happen to have an onus, that onus should not affect my ability to do it on the 29th day, 28th day, 27th day. Each day, I just have to do the action at one point in time. If I have to do an action at one point in time, just because there's an onus on the last day, that should not play a role because I really could have done the onus at any time. However, said Reb Chaim, this is the opinion of the Aguda. However, in the case of get, what did I say? I said, if I don't show up in 12 months, I want the get to be a get. So Reb Chaim said, in that case, it's not that I said I have to do something one time. I said, there's got to be a whole long time period of 12 months for the entire time period of 12 months, I am not going to be here. It's not something that I made a condition I got to do one thing one time within a year period. It's a whole extended time period that I'm not going to show up any of the time. So in that case, it's the whole time is one long block of time. So if at any moment in that time you would have wanted to come and couldn't come because of an onus, that's called an onus. Because as long as you're blocked from coming back at one point in time, you were forced into fulfilling the whole condition because all the whole block of time is considered one block of time. Sounds like a delicate.
You mean like six-month period of time? 6 months? I want
right.
To come back.
As long as you have an onus.
No, but I still got 6 months that I can come back. Another 6 months. But I don't come back. Why? I had an onus during
the That's the distinction. But anyway, what I want you to come out of this halacha l'maaseh also is that in the situation of delay, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say over here also, in the situation of delay, that maybe even the Aguda would agree over here that this is called an onus because, again, you have the whole zman, to be mispalel, and if you have an onus at the end of it, so again, that would be considered by the Ramah to be an onus. Okay, we'll go with David Mark.